Welcome to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program. I'm Sally Mock, and I'm joined by former Capital newspaper reporter Chuck Johnson and University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldin. And Chuck, this week, Republican candidate for Governor Greg Gianforte released what he calls his 406 tax relief plan, and it follows what seems to be a very traditionally Republican formula for trickle-down economics.
Yes, the 406 is eliminate the state's business equipment tax in 4 years, no increase in overall spending except for inflation and infrastructure, and then to lower the state income tax rate from 6.9% to 6% for everyone. And with income taxes, of course, the people that make the higher incomes pay the higher tax rate. So this would lower their tax rate, although lower for others too, because it kicks in at a pretty low earning rate for people. It's similar to what we've seen in past legislative sessions, and Governor Bullock, his opponent, has vetoed similar bills on the income tax side again, and similar bills he's opposed on eliminating the business equipment tax.
Here's what Mr. Gianforte says is needed to boost the state's economy.
We must slow the growth of state government and let Montanans keep more of their hard-earned money.
Rob, the zero increase in state spending may alarm more than Democrats. For example, there are many agencies and contractors that depend on state spending going up once in a while.
Sure, yeah, I think that'll definitely be the zero part of the controversy, and certainly we can count on Governor Bullock to oppose it. You know, one of the things that strikes me about this 406 tax relief plan, you know, it's obviously presented as a play on Montana's 406 area code. And I always cringe a little bit when supposedly serious policy proposals are packaged and offered with such a clear focus on marketing. In this way, it's reminiscent of the 999 tax plan offered by the semi-serious presidential candidate Herman Cain 4 years ago. And for me, at least, policy proposals in which the numbers line up perfectly in some easy-to-remember way begs a question of, well, what came first, a legitimate, well-thought-out policy proposal or a cute marketing strategy? But taking the plan on its own terms, the basic idea with the income tax here, according to Gianforte, is that if we put more money in the pockets of people, they'll go out and spend that, and that will stimulate the economy and create new jobs. One of the questions here, though, I guess, would be what kind of jobs? Gianforte has built his campaign around saying that the Montana economy is lackluster, particularly as it pertains to high-wage jobs. But it seems that if his tax cut was put into effect, that the kinds of jobs that would be most likely to be created from it would be service industry jobs, not necessarily those high-wage jobs that he's predicated his whole campaign around. And I expect Democrats will point that out.
And Chuck, the whole debate over whether Montana's business equipment tax, which has been reduced by both Democrats and Republicans in recent years, to eliminate that is often put forth by Republicans, as we've mentioned, as a way to spur business. And Mr. Gianforte has claimed that Facebook, for example, decided not to build a data center in Montana because of that tax. But Facebook is denying that, saying that's just not true.
The Associated Press has a story in which the reporter has contacted Facebook, who said they've never spoken to Gianforte about this. A low-level Facebook former employee apparently talked on a radio show that is run by Aaron Flint, who is Gianforte's spokesman, and he made the claims, but he's no longer with the company. And the company has said no discussions, and, you know, we'll certainly consider any number of states, but it isn't the business equipment tax story that Gianforte put out the other day.
And in fact, Facebook says its criteria for a good business location include renewable energy, an educated workforce, and a non-discriminatory environment, which means they would not choose North Carolina, apparently. In the U.S. House race, Rob, Democrat Denise Juneau is touring all of Montana's Indian reservations, hoping to drum up Native American support. But I'm guessing that is support she can already count on.
Yes, for sure. But here's the thing. When you talk to Democrats and ask how Juneau could pull a major upset and win this thing, one of the very first things that comes up are the Indian reservations. Juneau, of course, is a Native American, a 54th generation Montanan, as she likes to say, and she'd be the first Native American congresswoman ever if she wins. So Democrats hope that this aspect of her identity will fire up voters on the reservations to come out in record numbers and support her, and this tour is part of that effort to try to run up the numbers. And I think we can certainly expect that she will do very well on the reservations, but you're right, Sally, the Democrats have a long tradition of doing very well on the reservations. These are actually some of their very best areas in the state. So the real question is, how much room for growth is there for Juneau on the reservations? What she's going to need to do is not only carry those reservations by large margins, but convince a lot of people who haven't voted in the past to show up and cast ballots for her.
Well, this is how she puts it.
There is power in the Native vote, and I think that realization's coming to fruition.
Which goes to your point, Rob. She wants to convince Native Americans their vote counts, especially in this election.
Yeah, and if this is one of the keys to her victory, and Democrats most certainly think it is, she's going to need a lot of votes coming out of those reservations. One other thing you hear on this issue is the question about whether or not she's going to be able to pull large numbers out of all of the reservations consistently. That is, some people question, well, she might have huge numbers in her own community, but is that going to necessarily translate to, say, the Crow Reservation and to Rocky Boy?
Hence her tour.
Exactly, right.
Well, Chuck, robocalls are illegal in Montana, but that has not stopped supporters of Ted Cruz for president from using them here, and that has upset a fair number of people, especially those who are getting the robocalls.
That's right, Sally. And some of them have called the state's political practices commissioner, Jonathan Modell, about them. And this is what happens every election year. And the commissioner has said, yeah, they're against Montana law specifically, but nothing ever happens. He doesn't have authority to do anything about them. The authority rests with county attorneys. And county attorneys are much busier going after accused criminals and the like. And robocalls have never resulted in a county attorney filing any kind of complaint or charges. The law's on the books, but it's ignored by everybody.
And the legislature has, hasn't it, Chuck, tried to give the Commissioner of Political Practices the authority to enforce those laws. And that effort, though, has failed to pass the legislature, as I understand it.
That's correct, Sally. And until something like that passes, we will continue to get these irritating calls that are against Montana law, but allowed to continue because no one does anything about them. And I've always felt like the commissioner should have authority, but he doesn't at present, so there's nothing that can be done about him. And we can expect many more through the election cycle, and people might be advised to contact their legislative candidates and say, hey, we're tired of these annoying calls. Pass a law giving the commissioner or someone authority to do something about it.
And of course, this is another visible effort by Cruz supporters in Montana. They're working hard to get Montana's delegates, and that shows just how important our June primary is still on the Republican side of the ticket, at least.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that Cruz's campaign said the calls didn't come from him. So the question is, where did they come from? Probably a super PAC or something like that. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see more as we've got a, you know, the three-way race for the Republican nomination between Cruz, Donald Trump, and John Kasich, governor of Ohio. So it definitely is a sign that this race is drawing their attention. Haven't seen too much activity yet on the Democratic side, but it could be an important race if Bernie Sanders can close the gap on Hillary Clinton in that race.
Rob, a candidate in a race for an open seat on Montana Supreme Court has a new TV ad out, and that is Great Falls State District Judge Dirk Sandifer, and here's his ad.
Keeping our community safe is important. I know Judge Sandifer, I trust him, and I know he would do a great job on Montana's Supreme Court.
Our business depends on access to public lands and waterways. I know Judge Dirk Sandifer. He's impartial, fair, and I trust him.
For 25 years, I've served as a policeman, prosecutor, and state district judge. I'm Dirk Sandifer. I need your vote to serve you on the Montana Supreme Court.
Mr. Sandifer has raised quite a bit more money than his two opponents, the attorneys Kristen Juris and Eric Mills, and this ad being up early in the campaign shows that.
Yeah, it sure does. It's kind of amazing for a judicial position to be up on the air this early. This is, of course, just the second ad of the entire cycle. Gianforte put up an ad last week. So it is an indication, a surprising indication of how much money is flowing into that judicial race. Typically, these races don't generate that kind of money. The other thing that stands out is it's just such a classic feel-good ad. There's no talk of issues because they aren't allowed to do that in that type of an election. So basically, you have a bunch of people just saying that, hey, this is a great guy. And that's about all you can do with some nice music in the background.
I've interviewed Supreme Court candidates in the past, and one of them who was elected, Gene Turnage, a two-term Chief Justice, I started asking him questions, and he would say, well, Chuck, there are three branches of government, the judiciary, the executive, and the legislative, and would not answer any question on issues. And frankly, neither did most other candidates for the court.
Of course, that doesn't keep them from getting these campaign ads out there, as we just noted. Well, you've been listening to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program. I'm your host, Sally Mock, and I've been speaking with University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldine and former Capitol reporter Chuck Johnson. Happy Earth Day, guys, and we'll talk politics again next week. Thanks.
Thank you, Sally.